Oh, hello. This is episode 2 of the Radio Today programme, version 2.0.
Oh, hey, as the kids say. It feels like we needed the Radio Today.
No nonsense, no scripts, no production. Who needs any of that shit? There's plenty of good radio stations and podcasts doing that. We don't need that. We're just going to crack on and talk about stuff, I think.
This is the raw radio podcasting way of doing it, isn't it? Just talk. People will come.
Well, it's been, 4 weeks since we did a podcast, and the emails have literally been trickling in.
We've had 3, which is fantastic, because I was expecting 0. Thank you for your welcoming notes and your warm messages that have come through. And in person as well, people have been saying, not a lot of people, I've got to be honest with you.
Who do you see in person? Your dad?
Yeah, my dad loves it. Absolutely loves it. Let's have a look. We've got Tim here. Roy and Stuart, hi. Well, that was 43 thoroughly enjoyable minutes of Saturday afternoon listening direct from Latvia. He says, though, bizarrely, I never caught the Radio Today podcast in its previous incarnation.
What?
He's never heard of it before. So thank you, Tim. Tim has worked in radio for longer than I've been alive, so he should have heard about the Radio Today podcast.
Or maybe he spent the last 4 weeks going back and listening to all the back catalogue.
Maybe. One here from Jack that says...
Jack,
he's messaged us.
Is he playing what
saying
he
he's been hoping for the last 6 years that it would come back. And it's great to hear me and you just talking. Darren as well has said, I just want to say I really enjoyed the Radio Days podcast, and can we have more episodes on your channel, please?
Yes, it's here. This is it. This is the more. We're back.
And then goes on to talk about Laser 558 or something. But thank you very much. Appreciate the time they've taken. And if you'd like to contact us, podcast@radiotoday.co.uk, or just find us on socials.
So as I said, it's not scripted. We've not planned anything. We've not prepared anything because, quite frankly, we can't afford to do any of that nonsense. I have had a chat, though, this week with Ian McIntosh from Track Radio. So you're going to hear that in just a few minutes. And Ian is really good. He's really passionate. He's launching a new radio station in a couple of weeks. He's got a load of really great radio people on board, on air and off air. And you're going to enjoy listening to him telling us all about their plans. But before that, I thought we'd just round up what's been going on over the last 4 weeks. And there's a few things on the list, Roy. BBC is making more cuts. About 2,000 people could lose their jobs. And as usual, lots of anti-BBC sentiment in the Radio Today Facebook comments, and one or two people going, hey, people are losing their jobs here. Don't be a dick.
I mean, the Radio Today comments is just another world. And if I could turn it off, we turned them off on the website for that very reason, but it's an interesting one. Thankfully, they didn't, I don't know if it's thankfully or not, they didn't mention radio specifically from the cuts. It's generally all of the BBC, so it will inevitably include radio, but they haven't said, half of that is going to be radio. So fingers crossed we get a good shout out to that. But yeah, not good news.
Yeah, I think they're still working on the plan. So more, I'm sure, to come over the next few weeks on how it is going to affect different radio stations, different radio services. They could shut some down. I mean, they've talked about this in the past when there's been cuts. Six Music was for the chop, and local radio was going to turn into Five Live and all sorts of things. So who knows what might be on the table this time. We'll wait and see. And of course, Matt Britton, the new Director General, starting in a few weeks' time, just announced after we recorded the last podcast. How rude. He starts in a few weeks' time, so it's going to be an interesting time at the BBC.
It is. It seems like it's always changing. Always changing.
And you did a story this week, I think, as well, about Radio 4 Longworth finally being turned off. They've been talking about this for about 8 years now, haven't they? But it's finally going to get turned off this year, 198, and that'll upset the geeks.
It is, and it has, but it is inevitable because it's very expensive and fewer people are listening to it. So it seems like the right choice.
Let's talk about KISS briefly. They've got a new lineup. They've got a new logo. I think they've got some new jingles and stuff as well, have they, Roy?
They got new branding, new jingles about a year ago, which goes like, which sounds like I'm taking the mic, but I actually quite like it. I think it's a really good branding. And well done to all the guys at Pure and Bauer for doing that, because it's something a little different in this world full of jingles. So that's good.
But KISS has had a bit of a refresh. It needed a bit of a kick up the arse, didn't it?
A bit of a kiss up the arse. Yes, and they have a launch party for the new branding next week, which I've been very lucky to receive an invite to. So I'm going to go to that and we'll report back on the next podcast, hopefully chat to a couple of people there for the podcast.
Okay. A couple of moves reported on radiotoday.co.uk in the last few weeks as well. Our friend Rich Williams is going to Absolute to do sports news on The Breakfast Show with Dave Berry there and some other stuff for Absolute Radio. So well done to Rich. Top guy, used to be on Breakfast at Radio Air. He's been doing stuff at Virgin. I see him out and about at sports events where he does a lot of hosting as well. Really nice guy. So well-deserved new gig for him on Breakfast.
Yeah, and I get the feeling that he's going to be doing more and more at Bauer rather than just the sports. He's got a show on one of the splinters as well, hasn't he? So and probably more to come. Good guy.
And we send our best wishes to Bob Harris, who's been having some more cancer treatment and has got a bit of time off from his Radio 2 shows at the moment. And we've had a bad time of losing radio people recently as well. I think in the last few weeks since we last did a podcast, Dame Jenny Murray passed away, James Stanage, legend in Manchester, and Andy Kershaw as well, just last week. And that's a big loss to broadcasting and to music. I don't think I ever really heard much of Andy Kershaw on Radio 1 growing up. But I know there's a lot of fans. He was kind of seen as the next John Peel at one point, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mum texted me and said, "Your mate Andy Kershaw's died." Like, I'd never met the guy. What made you think he was my mate? So, and she was confusing with somebody else. Oh. But I mean, they will have known him from Radio 1 in the 80s. He was on for probably 15 years, wasn't he, in the 80s and 90s. But yeah, all sad news.
And just after we recorded the last Radio Today programme as well, we learnt that Ian Dealey had died, and loads of people who work at the BBC will know Ian. He was one of the studio managers, worked across many Radio 4, World Service, 5 Live, Radio 1, Radio 2 networks, did a lot of work with Steve Wright in the afternoon as well, and much missed. Very tragically died at such a young age, and Ian was a friend of the Radio Today podcast as well, because in its previous form, Ian, often late at night, would do the processing for me. After hearing the podcast a few years before that, he'd said, "I can make this sound better." I was like, "Really?" Don't think anybody can make it sound better, but Ian did. And he was very generous with his time, adding some whizzes and bangs and making it sound shit hot. So we thank Ian for that, and he'll be much missed by his family and everybody who knew Ian as well.
Making us sound shit hot as opposed to
shit, which is all we are now. And the only other news I think that's really happened in the last 4 weeks since we've been on is they've taken the sign down on the bridge at your favourite motorway services. Is that right, Roy, at Fleet? What's going on there?
This is such a strange story. I mean, it was the Scott Mills Bridge on the Fleet services over the M3. And yeah, I just turned up one day and the sign had gone. I mean, I'm sure there's a backstory as to why, the motorway company has taken down the Scott Mills story. But I can't think of any reason why they would do it. I mean, he's not been in the news recently at all, has he? I've not seen anything. I don't know about you.
Well, I saw one story. He was out walking his dog and pictures of him walking his dog or something. But
yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are the odds for the new Radio 2 breakfast show then? Who's gonna get that job?
What do you mean?
Apparently there's a vacancy. There's so much we could say. There's so much we probably shouldn't say. And there's not a lot that's actually factual or out there. So we're better just not really talking about it much. But what we can do is look to the future, Roy.
Yes. I was going to give you the story of how I found out, because I was off duty that day. My life is radio news.
You're off duty every day. Were you at the beach?
Yeah. it was the Easter holidays, I think, wasn't it? Anyway, we had family down. We went out for a nice walk, and I was no signal for about 2 hours. And when I finally got signal, my mother-in-law just happened to say, she just had an alert from the BBC. Scott Mills. And she just talked like that. Scott Mills has been fired. I'm like, what? I'm like, nah, I would certainly know about that if Scott Mills had been fired.
And within then you got a message from me that came through. Yeah, going, Scott Mills
about 100
has been fired.
Alerts, 100 people saying, I don't know if you know about this. So thank you for that. But thankfully, Steve was on duty and you were around, and together you managed to get it out pretty quickly. But a big shock. And I don't know, we shouldn't say things about it, but I think he will come back somewhere in the commercial sector before too long. That's my only prediction on that.
What about a Radio 2 breakfast? Who are they going to hire?
That is the big question. And hopefully by the time you hear this, we're not out of date and it's not already been announced. Because I feel an announcement is imminent.
Yeah,
must be. I don't know. I mean, what could we ask Grok? Who
I've been using still a Grok thing? Are people still, are we allowed to use that?
I think Grok is the secret currently. It's the people haven't quite grasped how good ChatGPT, obviously everybody's using, but I think everybody will suddenly realise over the next year or so how much better Grok is. So
but Grok was the one that was making topless pictures of women and things, and we don't like it.
Yeah, that's on X. So if you take off the X side of Grok, Grok is its own AI thing that's kind of integrated. It's both owned by Elon. So, but if you take Grok on its own app and separately, without the nude pictures, it's actually pretty awesome. So let me just bring it up. Hey, Grok, who's taking over the Radio 2 breakfast show?
It's wide open right now. No one's officially been announced. Scott Mills got the boot a few weeks ago. Gary Davies is just filling in. The bookies' top picks are Vernon Kay and Sarah Cox, both at around 3-1 odds, neck and neck. Sarah's the heir apparent, according to insiders. She's already killing it on drive time and knows breakfast inside out. Vernon's got the massive mid-morning audience pulling in millions.
Yep.
He's got that big, safe dad energy that slots right into the Radio 2 vibe without scaring the old dears. Sarah's a fucking legend, but she's already owning drive time, and they're too scared to mess with that slot. My dark horse bet? Rylan. Imagine him screaming, "Good morning, you filthy fuckers! Let's get some sausage rolls in the oven!" on a Monday morning. That'd be chaos, and I'm here for it.
So there you go. That's Grok.
That's Grok, right?
That's Grok.
Okay.
So you can have unhinged Grok, which is that version.
And you've got
with
unhinged
the swearing.
Grok, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have the normal version, that's obviously safe for the kids and everything else. So we're gonna have to put an explicit warning on this podcast now.
Ah, shit.
Good morning, you filthy fuckers. Let's get some sausage rolls in the oven.
Right. Anyway, what are you up to this week? You're going to Manchester, are you? Tuning in?
Possibly. It's unconfirmed. I've got my son's birthday on the same day, so I'm kind of working out the logistics on whether
event,
I can get away with that.
Kids' birthdays, you know where it's at.
Exactly. So maybe, maybe not, but certainly off to Kiss and Bauer next week. They've got the big quiz. They're doing the world record on the world's biggest quiz by the most people on the same day as the Kiss party. So that'll be a Bauer day out in London. So looking forward to that. Apart from that, all quiet down here on the seaside in Bournemouth.
The ARIA's nominations are out this week as well. So you'll see all of those listed, of course, at radiotoday.co.uk.
Yeah, good luck to everybody nominated and have a great time at the event, which is at the Roundhouse.
Okay, coming up, we have got Ian McIntosh from Track Radio. We should do this more often, Roy.
I think we should. Maybe same time next month or sooner.
This is the Radio Today programme, and I'm very excited to be talking about a brand new radio station which has found a bit of gap in the market and is launching in a couple of weeks' time. It's Track Radio. You might have read about this on Radio Today. Its CEO is Ian McIntosh, and I'm delighted to say he's with us. Hey there, Ian.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for talking to us, and this is an exciting time for you. Because, well, I know this from launching radio stations. When you're a couple of weeks out, it's all hands to the deck, literally. So how's it going?
Yeah, it really is. The intensity has been increasing all the time. And it was just a period last week where I felt that enough of the big things had been done that things calmed down to the point where it was just an incredibly busy job. And then this morning happened and everybody all of a sudden goes, oh, 14 days until launch. So I've been on the phone since about 7 in the morning, and I would expect to be on the phone until quite late at night as well. But it's just so much fun.
And so anybody who's not heard about Track Radio, tell us what the premise is, what you're going to do, what you're aiming to deliver.
There are just three simple rules, really, and that's just great sport, great music, and delivered by people who are smart and funny and nice. And the great sport thing is, it's really quite simple because it's all sports. It's not just football. I mean, my background is in football. I love football, despite the fact that I support Southend. But it's, you know, there are so many other sports to talk about as well. And when we talk about them, we want to talk to experts. So in every department, no one should be on air unless they're a proper expert. I want every hour to be listening to this radio station thinking, huh, I didn't know that. The great music bit is quite simple. We're not going to play freestyle jazz. We're not going to play industrial donk. It's largely music drawn from the 80s, 90s and noughties. It's pop rock. It's a nice balanced music library as well. There are more Pink records than Foo Fighters records. So any fears it's going to be some kind of crunchy guitar bloke fest are entirely misplaced. And then the smart, nice, funny bit is, I think, the secret superpower at the heart of everything. The news cycle, the real world news cycle, is so relentlessly awful that what we want to do is just to create a place where you can read the papers and you can doom scroll. But when you're done, come to us. We'll talk about the test match and we'll play Fleetwood Mac. And we're just going to build a lovely place where nice, funny, smart people talk about sport. And everybody engaged with the company, front and back, they have to fulfill that criteria of being nice and funny and smart. Because if you do that, everyone in the building is nice and smart and funny, then everything you make is going to be nice and smart and funny. You'd have to go to an effort for it not to be.
And we'll talk about some of the talent you've hired in a moment, but let's talk about the market first. Obviously, you've got stations like Five Live and its spin-offs. You've got Talk Sport and Talk Sport 2. You've got, I can't imagine how many hundreds of thousands of podcasts that are doing things about sport, whether that's niche to one sport or generally about sport. So where do you fit in the mix here?
Well, with the podcast side of things, because obviously I have some experience in that department, I think where we win is that we are now, and there are so many little hooks of now to take you through the day. I worked on podcasts for The Athletic. I think the quickest we ever reacted to anything was when Jurgen Klopp left Liverpool and we had a podcast out 55 minutes later. I mean, if we reacted to a story like that on the radio after 55 minutes, I think everybody would have to be fired. We can bounce onto things as they're happening. And it's not even just the big news stories. It's the things that are going through the day, those lovely little hooks like county cricket or a horse race or a tennis tournament. And one of the great things about this is we're going to have the room and the time and the enthusiasm to treat these sports with the respect they deserve. We don't want to only be talking about tennis when Wimbledon's on. We don't want to only talk about the cricket when the test matches are on. So we've got so many lovely little things to take us through the day. The music is almost set design. It's to make this a destination radio station, somewhere you want to spend your day if you're working from home, or something you want to accompany you on a long car journey. And I think, again, that angle of nice and smart and funny, it really gives it something in the marketplace.
And what's the balance of music to sport in a typical hour going to be like? Or are you still working that out?
It's about 50-50. It will be probably 4 or 5 talky bits. I'm sure there's a technical term for that, but I'm going with talky bits for the moment. And then 7 to 10 records. I mean, the breakfast show and drive time will be a little bit quicker, probably shorter links and more records. And we'll have time to stretch out into longer things, I think, during the daytime. But that's our starting place, is to just bounce it along. As I say, great sport, great music.
And what about sports rights? Obviously, your competition on the radio, Five Live, Talk Sport, has got a lot of money invested in rights for commentary and for access. Is that something on your radar?
I think it's on long-range radar. It's not going to be something we'll get into in the early exchanges. I think where our strength is through the daytime, where we have the chance to comment on things, to provide analysis on things, to look forward to things. I think it'll be a little while before we're engaged in those big battles for live sports rights, but you never know.
And let's talk about the talent. You've got some big names signed up, people like Mark Pugac and Sonia McLaughlin, Vassos Alexander, and some upcoming talent as well. And I'm a huge fan of Sani Rudravajula, who I've worked with at Five Live before. So you're kind of bringing on some upcoming talent and some big names. So it's a good mix that you've got in your schedule by the looks of it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's been an absolute delight to work with Vassos and Pugs and Sonia, with the sheer depth of experience and the breadth of experience that they've got. Sani is a firecracker. He's going to be brilliant. People are going to love him. We've got Charlotte Daly on the breakfast show as well, who's just won an SJA award as one to watch. She's absolutely fantastic. She'll be well known to boxing fans as well. And I think it's a really nice blend. They're all good characters and they're all really smart as well. It's nice to have a job where you're just talking to people like that, to be honest. You know, I just got off the phone with Vassos and we're having a lovely chat and I'm like, oh God, I've got to go. I've got to do the Radio Today interview. Could have been nattering all afternoon. And Yeah, I don't know much about these things, but I think that's a good sign.
In terms of logistics and how it works, have you got studio bases? Is it all remote? Are people coming into the studio? How's the production side going to work?
So every breakfast show will be from our Notting Hill studio. They'll always be live and in person. The daytime shows, Sani is based in Manchester, so he will be remote. And Sonia and Poogs will be in a couple of days a week. So we'll sort of balance it around. One of the things we've got when you're dealing with that level of talent as well, they're also quite busy on other things. So it's going to be a bit flexible in the early stages, but because of the way technology is, because of the way the industry is, you know, we have the ability to do that. And you only have to look around at other radio stations. I mean, the brilliance of Boom Radio, who've been an inspiration to us as we've been setting up, and their ability to come out of everybody's house. It just gives you more flexibility than I think you would have done 20 or 30 years ago.
And people might have seen from the Radio Today article a couple of weeks ago, you're launching on DAB in London initially, but you've got plans to go further?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to build that patchwork quilt of DAB territories and get out to as much of the country as we can, as quickly as we can. We will have our own app, which is brilliant, and a website as well. So there will be opportunities to listen online. If you shout at Alexa, play track radio, she should respond. And then it's just a case of seeing how those first few months go. But the intention is to just invest in growth as quickly as we can.
Obviously, all these things we've talked about, whether it's a studio in Notting Hill or Mark Pugach on your Drive Time show, they're not cheap, I suspect. So how are you funding this? What's the kind of commercial strategy?
The commercial strategy is to get things sponsored and get adverts on as quickly as possible.
Simple.
Just like every other radio station. We're very open to new ways of doing things as well. We won't be on radio jars for the first 6 months while those numbers build up. So it's going to be a lot of direct deals that we'll be doing. If there are companies who want to come on and sponsor the whole show, we're very, very open to that kind of thing, and exclusive partnerships. And yeah, we're already having those conversations now. It's all been very encouraging so far. People really seem to love the idea of what the station is and what it represents.
And you got a bit of mainstream press coverage as well with the talent announcement. And I think that, sorry, in that article, you've got funding backing from, is it Zach and Ben Goldsmith as well? So some initial investment there.
Yeah, we have our seed investment in place, and there could be conversations in the future about more investment coming in. I think what we want to do is get out there, best foot forward, and really impress. And I think what I loved about that news announcement was there was a story that came out 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it just said sports radio station and it didn't have any more details. People must have looked at that and gone, yeah, we'll see. And then when it was, you know, Vassos, Mark, Sonia, Sani, Charlotte, all of a sudden the tone changed, I think, and everyone went, oh, these guys are interesting.
And your background, as you touched on, is in podcasts. You ran Muddy Knees Media, famous for the Totally Football show, and then you've been working for The Athletic. So what have you learned from that time in, I mean, you're a sports journalist, but what have you learned from that time in podcasting about radio and the audio sector?
God, what a really good question. It's been funny, actually, because having done a lot of broadcasting myself and a lot of writing myself, I never really had to think about how things were put together, or the balance of characters, or who you're aiming it for and why, and things like that. And I had to learn those lessons very, very quickly at Muddy Knees Media. And one of the first things I did was take myself off air as quickly as possible. I remember doing the very first Totally Football show and just thinking instantly that it was wrong. I shouldn't have been there. I was the boss of the company, and I could feel that people were interacting with me very, very differently. So that was the first thing. And then it just became just a way of, everything's about people. Every company you ever run is about people. You get the right people in, and you have the right guidelines and the right values. And then I think you just sort of light the touch paper and step back. So everyone engaged with this radio station is of a sort of person. You know, they are nice and smart and fun. And so as much as possible, I want to just step back and let them do what they do.
You're not going to make an appearance on the radio then?
Well, naturally, I'm saving overnights for myself. No, I might pop up here and there in a capacity of feeding back on the football. And I might turn up if there's another pandemic and everybody else is ill. But outside of that, no. No, I'll have more than enough to do on the commercial side and the structural side. So as much as I would love to, because this is absolutely the radio station I would love to present on, I don't think that will be happening.
And a couple of other big names that we haven't mentioned, you've got involved, John Inverdale advising you on this, and somebody a lot of people in the radio industry will know as well, John Tierrent.
Yes. One of the things I realised quite quickly was the extent of my radio experience is shilling my books on Hawksby and Jacobs or doing the papers with Big Mick Quinn on a Sunday morning. So I needed to surround myself with experts as quickly as possible. And they don't come much more expert than John Inverdale. I don't think there's anything in sports broadcasting that he hasn't done. And he has been absolutely brilliant, not just with the big stuff. I mean, he got the tone of what we were trying to achieve straight away, just completely the way that we talk about sport and the sports that we talk about. But he's also been fantastic behind the scenes, particularly with, you know, younger members of staff. He put on a session last week where he's talking to the producers and the assistant producers, and, you know, someone like that walks in the room and everybody's backs get a little bit straighter, don't they? He's been absolutely fantastic. And Jonathan Arendt, who'd be well known to many of your listeners, I think there's not much that he hasn't faced in the business of radio. So he's been a constant counsel for me. And we've been lucky elsewhere as well. We've got Richard Johnson, who's absolutely brilliant. And we've had epic meetings about the music and the music library. He's been teaching me all about that. We've got Rick Simmons and Robbie Harrison, and Remy Kirk is going to help us out with the commercials. So I think it's like a who's who of great people from British radio behind the scenes as well as in front of the mic.
And I suppose the biggest battle now, once you get on the air, is that battle for ears and getting people to actually try it and tune in. The talent you've got obviously will draw people in, but you've got to market this thing as well, I guess.
Yeah, discoverability. It's the it was always the bane of podcasting, and it will be the bane of radio as well. Not helped by social media being so dreadful these days. It's hard to make any noise. I think it will be similar to podcasts in that the best way of building an audience with a podcast is word of mouth. And I think it will be the same here. I think we'll have that period in the first month or so where people will be giving us a try. And I think they'll be impressed by the way that we do things. We do have marketing budget and marketing plans lined up. That's actually my next meeting this morning. We're a wonderful signing, able to grab a guy called Pete South, who worked on The Athletic, who's just one of those people who's good at everything and worked across most of the things The Athletic did, including marketing. So he's leading the way on that front. And we'll have a few nice surprises as well. I think there'll be some interesting stuff we're putting out on social media just to grab the attention. But ultimately, grabbing the attention is one thing. Holding the attention is a real trick.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finally, you mentioned Boom being an inspiration. Clearly, what they've achieved with their target audience and quite specific targeting has been really successful for them. So is your strategy in terms of what audience you're looking for a similar thing, or are you looking more broad appeal?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating looking at Boom and Fix as well, who've been equally fantastic. The ability to move into a market dominated by a handful of big beasts and still be able to define yourself and still be able to say to people, this is what we do, this is what we're about, come check us out. We are looking for people who love sport, and I think it's going to be that in its purest sense. I think if you're the kind of person who writes angry comments under newspaper articles, we're probably not going to be for you. There was a doc we had out very, very early on trying to mark out what the station is and what it stands for. And there was a line in it. We are the people who will stop in the park and watch a game of village cricket for a few deliveries, even if we don't know who's playing. We are that sort of sports fan. We did stay up late for curling, and we can't rule out the possibility that we'll do it again. We are the people who love all sports and just the joy in it, as opposed to some of the more negative angles. That's the kind of person we're looking for.
And I think there are quite a lot of people out there like that, so you should do all right.
I sincerely hope so.
Well, we wish you lots of luck with it. All launches on the 4th of May. That's Bank Holiday Monday. DAB in London. Rest of the country on smart speakers and apps and things like that. And hopefully coming to a DAB radio somewhere near you in the country at some point soon. Ian, great to talk to you. Thank you for being on the Radio Today programme.
Oh, thanks for speaking to me, Stuart. It was a pleasure. It's the